Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Mickey. And I'm so sorry. Pastor Eddie has not been feeling well, but getting better in the name of Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for the honor this morning of being here and sharing my heart. This is Pentecost Sunday, and normally you'd preach along that line, but I'm not. I won't talk about the power of the cross. Let me say this. The message of the cross is the pivotal message of the entire New Testament. Everything pivots at the cross. I think I told John, but earlier, you know, the cross, Jesus set the table at the cross, gave you an invitation on resurrection, and sent the Holy Ghost at Pentecost to tell you how to get there. So isn't it wonderful how the Lord had it all planned out? And so, but I want to talk to you from my heart. I'm not sure we'll wind up the same direction that we did the first service. It never comes out the same, but I want to talk about the power of the cross. So Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit's anointing and direction that our words, our thoughts, our hearts to receive would be anointed and blessed of you, that you would be pleased and lifted up and exalted. And Lord, may we leave this gathering different than we came because of you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse, it's two verses that I want to pivot off of, is verse 18 and 19. For Paul had a revelation of the cross. Let me just stop here. You know, he said of himself that he, Paul, was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I mean, that's who Paul was. Until the Damascus Road, when he had an encounter with a risen Christ. And it changed his life. And then from there, went down into Arabia for some 3 years. And there, got a revelation of Christ and the cross. And came out of Arabia preaching the message of the cross and of the resurrection. And of Christ, the only way unto salvation. That is neither Jew nor Gentile, it's neither male nor female, but a new man or woman in Christ Jesus. So he had a revelation and wrote so much in the New Testament about the revelation of the cross that he had. Now he's writing to the Corinthian church the revelation by the Spirit of the cross. Verse 18, for the message of the cross. The word message is the word for word. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved. How many of you know if you've been saved, you're being saved and will be saved? Hallelujah. For us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word power is the word dunamis. That simply means inherent power. In other words, the message or the word of the cross has in it inherent power. Now, these light bulbs here don't have an inherent power. They're getting it somewhere else. The message of the cross has in it the dunamis, the power of God. So whenever the message of the cross is preached, there is the possibility of the expression and the manifestation and the demonstration of the power of God because it's centered in the cross. Next verse he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent or the intelligent, for those that's got it all figured out. Now the reason those that are perishing look at the message of the cross as foolishness is because they can't figure it out. How an alcoholic or a drug addict or just a lost man or woman can kneel at the cross and confess their sin and open their heart and invite Jesus to be the Lord of their life and be changed forever. It can't be according to the world. It looks like foolishness. But to God, it's where he meets us at the cross. Now listen carefully. If you don't get anything else, get this. The cross is God's meeting place with us. You will have to get to the cross. You'll never get with God until we get to the cross. Because all that God does, He will do in Christ through the cross. Now, got three questions. May not get beyond that. So, got three questions about this. First of all, why did it have to be? Why did there have to be a cross? Because the cross was not an afterthought. The cross was a plan of God. How many of you know that when they got down near the end, Jesus said, kept saying, "For this reason I came." He knew why He came. So the cross was not an afterthought. It was the plan of God. But why? Well, you don't have to turn there, but please hear me. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, "For all." How many know the Greek word for all is all? The Hebrew word for all is all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many know that God? All of us. And then Paul goes on to say in the 6th chapter of Romans in verse 23, "And the wages of that sin is death." So we were bearing a death sentence. You understand? Now let me just stop here a minute. How many of you know that when God said to Adam, "See that tree? Everything is yours but that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you leave it alone. Don't bother with it. Do not eat of it. Because if you do, you will die." Now, you know the story. Adam disobeyed God, he and his wife. Ate us out of a house and home, didn't they? And they disobeyed God and sinned, and death came. Death was in three dimensions. There was now a natural death that would come. Now there was a spiritual death that had occurred. Now there was an eternal death released on all humanity. So all born after Adam are born with a spiritual death. Come on now. With a separation. And I know we're going, without the rapture, we're all going to die. But our death is defeated in Christ. And blessed is the man that dies in the Lord. It's greater there than it is here. But that death is now upon us, and that eternal death, which John called in Revelation the second death. Blessed is he that has no part in the second death. The second death is when the unrighteous are raised and judged and cast into the lake of fire forever. That's second death. Now, with that in mind, you remember that Paul's revelation, for the wages, what you get for being this, for the wages of sin is death, physically and spiritually and eternally. But somebody's taking care of that. Praise God. But then the other thing is that Paul said in 3 and 10, there's none righteous. So after Adam's fall, we all have been born after Adam. Therefore, there is none righteous. No, not one. Now, how many of you know, if we're not righteous, if we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death, who can fix it? Who can fix it? Who qualifies for all of sin? So, he who has sinned doesn't qualify to be Savior. So, what has to happen? You know what has to happen. That's the next question as to how God's going to fix this thing. You know this gospel story. Well, you know, somebody said it like this, and it didn't happen this way, but if somebody said it like this, before the council of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Bible said before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain, that they had an eternal meeting. And they said, well, Adam's going to sin. What do you think we ought to do? Jesus said, I'll go down and redeem him. So that plan was in place before Adam was ever created. Hey, you know, God's not coming up with a plan. He's got one. Hallelujah. How many of you know God can't have an original thought? He's already thought it. You go, I don't understand that. I don't either. Ask June. She'll explain it to you right after church. So anyway. So what I'm trying to get you to see is the pivotal message of the cross. And so everybody that was born after Adam. Now, let me stop here. How many of you know that the Bible said man was created in God's own image? It says that right there in the Bible. But if you go on a little further in about chapter 5, it says this, that Adam had a son born after his image. In other words, now from Adam on, that image that we were originally created in has been marred. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet Earth has been marred with that image of a fallen Adamic nature. It's called flesh. So all of us, so now you understand, we all have sinned. Well, if anybody tells you they never sinned, they're the biggest liar you've ever met. They all have. All have sinned. The wages of that sin is death. There's none righteous, no, not one. But how many of you believe that outside, hallelujah, Jerusalem, that walled city, and a little place called Bethlehem. Come on now. That one day there was the cry of an infant born in a stable, put in a manger. Little did the world know that in that manger was the answer to what I've just talked to you about. That his name, heaven said, when he gets here, you call him Jesus. They didn't give an option. Heaven named him. Heaven said, call him Jesus. For when John saw him, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So why did Jesus come? Did he come just to show us that God loves us? That was part of it, but it wasn't his purpose. Not his number one purpose. His number one purpose was to redeem lost, fallen humanity. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, in order to do that, he now has to step into flesh. John 1:14 simply says, and the Word became flesh. Hallelujah. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So for 33 years, he walked right on planet Earth, and then there came a day. He said, for this reason I came. There came a day. Come on now. How many of you know in the Garden of Gethsemane, I've had the privilege, and many of you have, I've had the privilege of being in the garden. Some of the old olive trees, they say, in the garden were there when Jesus prayed the prayer in Gethsemane. And I wept while I was there because I thought, if you could only tell me what it was like when the Son of God touched heaven. And there in the garden, the greatest battle any man ever fought was fought by the Son of Man. And he cried out, Father, there's any way to do this, any other way. If we can redeem those that'll be at Grace House this morning, if there's any other way, let's do it. But if there isn't, I'm willing to go down the old Via Dolorosa. I'm willing to go outside the walled city and let them nail my hands and feet to the cross and die for them. I am willing because I love them that much. Nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. And about that time, Judas and a band of others came, and Judas kissed the door of heaven and didn't know he kissed the door of heaven. And they took him there down the Kidron Valley over to the Praetorium, took him through a mock trial. And then in the next day, they took him down the Via Dolorosa with an old rugged cross. He had a crown on his head. My. The blood was dripping down his face. His back was pulverized because by his stripes I am healed. And he's taken the old rugged cross to a place called Golgotha. And had you stopped him on the way and said, Jesus, why are you doing this? I'm doing it, son, just for you because I love you that much. When you know what he did is personal to you, it'll mean more to you than anybody else. He did it for all the world, but he did it for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he did it for you? And you know when the Bible, Isaiah said it very clearly. He wasn't overcome. He wasn't murdered. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. The Lamb was slain. That's the cross. At the cross. Interesting enough, don't you find? They nailed him on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. My, my, my. 9 o'clock in the morning with two thieves. One on each side. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours, not seven, not five, not eight or ten, 6 hours, prophetically speaking, the number of men. And aren't you glad that when 6 hours, and there's other things about this, but aren't you glad that he was hanging there, looking at lost humanity, looking at those that had betrayed him. And he looked out and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Father, forgive them. And then he bowed his head and said, it's finished. It's finished. And they came and thrust a sword into his side. And out came blood and water. Out from the side of the Lamb of God came a bride. And that bride is here this morning. So Calvary became the pivotal point. And so after that, you well know, the Bible is very clear. He came as the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. He came as the second Adam. Come on now. The second Adam, fully God, but never functioning as God, but fully man. He was 100% man. And he walked in the fullness of the Holy Spirit for those years that he had ministry on earth. And then he died. And guess what? When he died, the Bible says, Paul said it very clearly, when he died, come on now, we died with him. Hallelujah. A fallen humanity died with the living God in flesh. Hallelujah. And he died and he said, it's finished. They took him down, as you know, and put him in the tomb. And then Paul said, if we died with him, come on now, we were put back there behind that big rock, behind that stone. And how many of you know that all your sin, all your failure, all your mess, you come up with it. It's back there behind the stone. It's hidden. Nobody knows it but God, and it's back there. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? For 3 days, come on now, 3 days hell thought they had him. You know, the devil didn't even know Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. They didn't know. He didn't know that. He wouldn't have done what he did with Judas. But blessed be God. Come on now. Come on now. This is the gospel. I just feel like preaching a little bit. This is the gospel. The gospel is, come on now, on Sunday morning, aren't you glad Friday was a sad day? But God knew Sunday morning was coming. Woo! God knew Sunday morning was coming. And when Sunday morning those women went to finish the anointing of his body, when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. And the Son of Man had walked out. And when he walked out of that, he didn't come out like he went in. He went in battered and bruised and beaten. But he came out still with the scars. But he came out in the glory of who he is. Come on now. And when he came out, we came out with him. Hallelujah. If we died with him, we were raised with him. Praise be to God. You see, but you can't get there till you get to the cross. You've got to get it to the cross before you can get it out of the tomb. Come on now. Now, how many of you know he hung around on earth and witnessed to a lot of people? Told them who he was and let them, you know. Yeah, there were people like Thomas. They said, I'm not going to believe until I touch it. I mean, how many of you ever said, I couldn't believe it till I see it? And when you saw it, you go, I don't believe it. I've said it myself. How many of you know that in that meeting when he walked through a wall because the chemistry was there and he had a glorified body, but now listen to me, still had the scars. Didn't get rid of the scars. And I'm not going to believe, said Thomas, unless I can touch him. He said, Thomas, put your hand right here. And Thomas did, and he said, my Lord and my God. Woo! Now, come on now. Some few number of days after he met with a lot of people, 500 at one time, guess what? Outside Jerusalem, he goes back to heaven and sits down at the right hand of God the Father. When he went back, I went with him, and so did you. You know what our position is? If you're a believer, you know what your position is this morning? You are seated at the right hand of the Father. That means we're not looking, come on now, on our situation, we're looking down on it, not up at it. Every situation in life, I'm looking at it from a redeemed perspective. I am looking, now watch this, I'm looking at life through the power of the cross. See, I could never get to the throne. And the amazing thing about this, and I know you know this, it's an amazing thing that if you go back into the tabernacle, you go back into the temple, you go the outer court, the holy place in the Holy of Holies, there wasn't a chair in the Holy of Holies. They didn't have a chair. You know why? The priest would come back 1 year later on the Day of Atonement and make the sacrifice again. Oh, but it's very important. Right here in the text, right here in this book, it says this, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. What'd that mean? It's over, boys. Ain't nobody need to do nothing else. It's a done deal. Salvation is sure. Heaven is your destiny. And I am your Lord and Savior because of the cross. Wow, my God. No wonder they call it good news. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to me. Listen to me. The anointing is getting stronger here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God, you can look at it in your Bible. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know what it says? Now watch this. God made him. The devil didn't make him. God made his own son the sacrifice of sin, your sin. Every sin you've ever committed, every lie you ever told, every drink you ever had, every shot in the arm you ever had, every adulterous thought that you've entertained, everything you've ever done. Come on now. He made that him. He became that. He made him who didn't know any sin. That's the reason on the cross. Come on now. That's the reason on the cross. There came a time when the highest moment of sacrifice wasn't the pain in the flesh, but it was when he looked to the Father and said, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Father do that? It's because at that point, he made his son your sin and mine. And Father had to turn his head like this. Aren't you glad he did it for you? And then he died. And then he rose. Then he sat down. And then, now watch this, when God made him sin, he did it that he might make us his righteousness. Now watch this. Come on, I'll give you a scripture or two here in a minute if I get around to it. How many of you know when you got saved, you didn't just, people think a Christian is just somebody goes to church. Well, the devil goes to church, I hate to tell you that. The devil goes to church, I don't make it, you go in a barn, don't make a cow, go on a chicken house, you don't come out cackling. You go to church, you don't come out saved. You get to hear the gospel. You get to fellowship with other saints. That's wonderful. I'm 1,000% of going to church. I think we ought to go. I think every Christian ought to go. I think anybody ought to go that's hungry for God. That'll make you a Christian. But when I got saved, come on now, when I got, if any man or woman be where? In Christ. Bless God, when I got saved, I didn't just join something. I didn't get water on me. I got more than water on me. I got more than my name on a roll. Blessed be God, when you and I got saved, I stepped over into an eternal Son who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, who's defeated the devil at every point, who sits to the right hand of the Father, who is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. I stepped into that. I'm in Him. I'm in Him. And now it's wall to wall Jesus. Every way I look, there's Jesus. And every time the devil comes and knocks on my door, he's got to deal with Jesus. Hallelujah. When God deals with me, He deals with me through His Son and the redemption of His Son. That's the power of the cross. My God. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to prophesy. There is coming a day, and we're on it now, that more and more and more and more, you're going to hear the power of the cross and of the resurrected Lord and who Jesus is than you've ever heard in your life. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. He made Him sin that He might make me, you, righteous. The question is, just how righteous are we? We are as righteous as He is. I know what the Bible says. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become, when we are born again in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that our life is perfect in any sense of the word. Doesn't mean that. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to do something to be righteous. You already are. So the Christian growth life is this. I am learning how to live in who I already am. It's like having $50 billion and you're just now finding it out. You go to Walmart and, you know, I saw a little chopstick the other day. I look, you know, things are so high now. I look at them twice. I go, $2.89 for that thing. I thought they were 70-something cents. And you pull up and get gas, you're making an investment. Come on now. You go to the grocery store and say, my God, we got to quit eating, honey. We can't afford to eat anymore. But come on now. How many of you know you are rich? You have what money can't buy, what the devil can't steal. Well, glory to God. Isn't it good that I, you say, you believe in eternal security? You've got it, Buster. I'm as secure as He is secure. Anybody gets off this boat, it'll be my choice, not His. Nobody can steal it from you because nobody gave it to you. But you became the righteousness of God. I think I've said this to you years ago. Peter Lord was in Birmingham, one of the large mega churches there. And I happened to hear the tape. Back then we had tapes, but anyway. I happened to hear it on tape. Butch, and he said, he called a lady up. I don't know why. Called her up. And it's like saying, Larry, come on up here. Let me ask you something. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Really? Wonderful. Well, let me ask you a question. How righteous are you? You could tell the silence. You went, I don't remember what she said. It was like maybe 90%. I'm sure that was a stretch. About 90. I mean, I just had a fit before I came to church, but come on now. Come on now. How many of you know you can't be 90% righteous? It's all or none. Come on now. And that's the reason when you sin, when we do wrong, we're convicted immediately. And what do? We don't become righteous. We get back in line with righteousness. So, let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said it so clearly. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, verse 30, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became. Everybody say became. Who became. I was not, but I became. I stepped into the became. You understand? It's like falling in the pool. You're looking at it, and then I became wet. It's like I'm lost. I go to church. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. But one day, I knew I wasn't. And I received Christ, and I stepped into a became. So instead of getting him to do it for me, he is what I need him to do. Let me tell you what it's like. It's like going to town with your daddy when you're a little boy. I'd much rather, well, let me just back. Daddy might want to give me $1 or $5. $5 a little stretch back in those days. Might want to give me $1 and say, go to town, son, and buy you something if you want to. Or, son, he said, I'll go with you. Which would you rather have? I'll take daddy. Because I'm with him and everything he is, I became. Come on now. And when you become, then you have what he is and who he is. You understand? This is what he said. Look at chapter 1 and 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us. Look at it. Wisdom. Watch it. Righteousness. I became. Now I'm not right. I became his righteousness. I became his wisdom. It says it right here in the text. I became his sanctification. I became his redemption. I mean, he now, and I've prayed it many times, I wrote it in my Bible, he is my everything. Wow. I remember, I read it for years and years, this text about Paul had a revelation of how the Lord takes the things of the world that and just turns them around and to his glory and good. Because, and then he calls all of us. There it is. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I won't know anything else. I want to know. If you've been to the cross for his cleansing power, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? I can tell you this, and I don't want to embarrass him. I can tell you this sitting back next to Vicky there. It's Wayne McCain. Back in 1977, I guess we moved to New Site. Had three little churches. One of them was the church that his parents went to. And I remember the first time I saw him, he was on the front porch with long black hair, smoking. Smoking Methodist, my goodness. And I got to know him. He was lost, needed the Lord, had some real addictive issues going on in his life. And I stood behind the pulpit in New Site United Methodist Church, and I looked over there. And this black-headed boy, that's now white-headed, was kneeling right here. His daddy was right behind him. That old boy came to the cross, brought his drugs and alcohol, and it don't matter. How many know those were symptoms of a problem, not the problem? He brought it to Jesus through the cleansing blood. He's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He got up from that altar. And never missed a lick. His life was changed forever. You see, to the world, that's foolishness. To the kingdom of God, it's a yes. Amen. That's the reason Paul could say, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. You always have to go there, to the cross. You're not going to get anything from anything God's got to get to us. It'll come through the cross. Now I know some of you were there, and please forgive me for using this again, but it's so real to me and to June sitting here. How many have ever heard of he's a Scottish brother, Alistair Beck. Have you heard of him? Raise your hand. A number of you have. Anyway, Vicky sent us a little snippet, and Alistair Beck was preaching on the cross. And the little snippet, we heard it, and I wept. And I have a feeling she did too, because it got down in me, and I am praying it'll never leave me. And Alistair Beck, and I wish I could tell it like he tells it, but I will tell it to you, and for you that have heard it, forgive me. Alistair Begg talked about the two thieves at the cross. We're talking about the power of the cross. Remember? Hey, you know, those old boys weren't saved. I mean, they've been cussing Jesus. It's in the Bible. Now, that's Lauderdale language. They cursed Jesus. In Lauderdale County, they was cussing Jesus. And just before Jesus died, one of them said, "Remember me when you come into your paradise." Alistair Begg said, "When I get to heaven, I want to meet that guy. I want to ask him, how'd you get here? How'd you get here?" He said, "I'm sure an angel walked up and said, 'Sir, how did you get here?'" He goes, "I don't know." Come on now, church. We're talking about the cross. "I don't know." Well, let me ask you. How do you stand on the doctrine of justification by faith? He said, "Never heard of it." "Well, have you ever been to church?" "Never been." "Well, what's your doctrine on the authority of Scripture?" "I don't know." "Well, how did you get here?" "All I know is the man on the middle cross said I could come." How did you get saved? When your great faith, when your great repenting, when your great anything, the man on the middle cross said you could come. Well, that became rhema to us. And as you well know, a few weeks ago, we were up in St. Joe, Missouri, preaching a rather long meeting, six service meeting. And I was doing the whole thing. Anyway, June wound up in the hospital. So I'd done three, and I'm getting ready to do the fourth service. And the pastor had offered to call the service off, and June said, "Please don't, honey," and I didn't. And so I'm getting ready. I'm in the motel room getting ready to preach my fourth message in the meeting, and she's in the hospital down in St. Joe. She texts me, "Honey, preach good tonight." Yeah. I text her back. I said, "Miracles never cease." She texted me back. Said, "The man on the middle cross said you could." This morning I'm walking down the hall going to the car. She's in the kitchen. She hollered at me, "Honey, preach good." And I just stopped and I looked around at her and she said, "The man on the middle cross said you could. I got a word for you. I don't care what you need and I don't care who you are. But the man on the middle cross said you could come. And just meet him at the cross." Tell you what we're going to do. We've got enough time. We're going to sing an old hymn, an Isaac Watts old hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died." We're going to sing it as an invitation hymn. While, now listen, I want to say it clearly, because I don't think I said it in the other one. While we are singing this hymn, If you want to bring whatever you need to bring, you go, well, I'm a Christian. That's not the point. If you're not saved, come to the cross and you can be. But if you've got something you need to leave at the cross, I'm going to tell you, I'm just telling you, there is an anointing in this house to bring it and to leave it and to leave here without it. And every time the devil knocks on your door, you can tell him, I left it at the cross Sunday morning at Grace House. I will not go back and pick it up in the name of Jesus. That's the power of the cross. And then what I want you to do, and don't put it, listen, if the Spirit of God, that you don't argue with Him. There's an anointing in that. You get it? You go for it. You come while we sing this hymn. And I'm not going to ask the altar workers to come yet. But I want you to come as we sing this hymn. Because this hymn is, Lord Jesus, what can you say? Well, you sure cry a lot. Can't help it. Just can't help it. It's the best thing I've ever seen. It's Jesus. Come, Spirit of God, and blow your breath on every heart. Start with me, Lord. And Lord, we want to unload this morning. My God, we want to pack it around the cross and say, I carried it too long. I'm leaving it at the cross this morning, and I'm getting in my car and go home and say, I left it at Grace House at the cross, and I'll never go back and pick it up. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, into your glory, breathe upon us and draw us unto yourself in Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing this old hymn.
When I surrender,
sing it with us. Find your place right here. Bring it. Come quickly. Don't hesitate. Church, come on, take advantage of the anointing of the house. I cannot explain. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. When I sing it, I thank God those things. You're singing the truth. Isaac Watts had God's anointing. Now here's what we're going to do. All of our altar workers, if you would make your way when we start singing it, and please don't quit singing it, y'all, until I wave at you or something. And when you get down here, if you want somebody to pray with you, lift your hand. All you got to do is just lift your hand. And somebody will agree with whatever you came for, because if two shall agree, that's touching. So our altar workers, would you come as we sing and minister to people as they want you to or need you to? Just lift your hand. Somebody will pray with you. Somebody will pray for you in the name of Jesus. Sing it, church. Please sing it with me. Someone here, I just know it's in my heart. We're just gonna sing the first stanza of the hymn, and then we'll have the benediction. I would love to meet you here. What I'm hearing in my heart, this is what I'm hearing the Lord say. Tell them they don't have to carry it anymore. They don't have to carry it anymore. If you will turn it loose, this will be the day. For the rest of your life, the word of the Lord, you don't have to carry it anymore. As we sing just the first stanza, then the benediction will come. If you can find a grace in God to say yes to that, will you come? I'd meet you here, and I promise you, in agreement, you don't have to carry it anymore. That's it. Oh, the wonderful cross. Let's sing it one more time, just the first stanza. Thank you. I don't want to quit singing that. Why don't we just stay till about 3 o'clock and sing that hymn all over again. Just over and over again. Oh, when I survey the wondrous cross. Chris. Would you just lift your hands like this if you don't mind? And just keep it that way for a few minutes. And just listen. That the blessings of Calvary be upon you and in your life from today like never before. That you leave Grace House carrying the benefits of Calvary, and that you've left behind today a lot of stuff, but you're going home different than you came. So I decree and I declare over you, I pray the Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. I pray make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. I pray lift up His countenance upon you, give you peace. Receive that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.